What happens, the question is, what happens at death? What happens when somebody dies? The Bible teaches, that death means separation. That's what death is. It's just another word for separation. The Bible teaches that we're dead. If you're not saved, you're dead in your sins and your trespasses. That's Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. If you're not saved, you're dead in your sins and your trespasses. What does it mean to be dead that way? It means you're separated from God. Amen. The Bible says that your sins have separated between you and your God. That's why you're dead. That's why a lost person is dead. They're separated from God, who is life. Amen. Genesis 35, verse 18. Speaking of Rachel, says, "And it came to pass as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin." Amen. As this woman was dying, what departed from her? Her soul departed from her. It left the body. It's the Word of God. Plain as day, as we can see, it's just the Word of God. Amen. Death is a separation of the spirit or soul from the body. Ecclesiastes 12:7, you don't have to turn there, says the dust will return to the earth as it was, speaking of the body, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. It's a separation, praise God. Now what the Bible teaches is that the body is a house of clay, that the body is a tent, is an earthly house that stores where the soul of man lives, praise God. You just seen where the soul left Rachel. And the Bible teaches that a resurrection in 1 Kings 17, verse 22, that during a resurrection, the soul comes back in to the body. Let's see if we can find that in 1 Kings 17, and verse 22. First Kings 17, verse 22 says, "And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived." The soul leaves at death. During the resurrection, guess what comes back? The soul comes back into the man, or the person, woman, child. Job said that the body was a house of clay. That's Job 4:19. Paul said that it was an earthly house. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, verse 13 through 15, that the body was a tabernacle, that's a tent. And he said that he was going to put it off when he died, when he deceased. He would put off this earthly tabernacle, this tent. Amen. And Paul, speaking of the soul, said it was the inner man. 2 Corinthians 4:16. So the body is a house. The body is a tent, a jar of clay that holds the soul of man. That's plain from Scripture. You can look up the references I just said and see for yourself what the body is. It's just a tabernacle. It's just a tent for your soul to live in. Praise God. Now, the Bible teaches that the real you, the most important part of you, is your soul, is your spirit. Praise God. Now, the question is, what happens when you die? The soul is separated from the body. That brings death to the body. The Bible says that the body is dead when the spirit is separated from it. Praise God. Now the question I want to ask is, when the soul is separated from the body, is there any consciousness there? Now the Bible teaches that when Jesus was walking on the water, that's Matthew 14, Mark 6, different places in the Bible, that when Jesus came walking on the water, that the disciples were scared because they thought he was what? A spirit. And you look up the word spirit, it's phantom. They thought he was a ghost walking on the water. Did you remember that? Now, the only thing that proves is that the apostles believed in ghosts. They believed in disembodied spirits. That don't mean too much. It just means that's what they believed. But then when Jesus was resurrected in Luke 24 and verse 39, they got scared again and they thought he was a spirit. And Jesus said in Luke 24:39, he said, "Behold my hands and my feet. Look at my hands and my feet, it's me myself." handle me and see, for a spirit ain't got flesh and bone, as you see me have. Do you remember that, what he said? He didn't say, you silly apostles, there's not spirits. He said, touch me, I got flesh and bone. He said, spirit ain't got flesh and bone. See, Christ didn't rebuke it, what they believed, but he said, look, I'm not a spirit because I have flesh and bone. When you study history, the Pharisees, which Jesus had set in Moses' seat, they was the closest of all the Jews to having the right religion. There's the Orthodox of the Jews in Christ's day. History says they believed in the spirit. They believed in the soul that left the body at death. Did you know that? They believed in that. Now Acts 23:8, we'll have to read this. There's another sect of the Jews that wasn't Orthodox. And they were called the Sadducees. And the Sadducees was really unbelievers, even though they was Jewish. They didn't believe the Bible. Well, they believed part of the Bible. They believed the first five books of the Bible, and the rest of it was, they didn't believe it was inspired. They didn't believe in none of the prophets or nothing like that. They just believed in the writings of Moses. And the Bible says in 23 verse 8, it says the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the body. Neither angel. They didn't believe in angels. Nor spirit. But the Pharisees confess both. They confess it all. You see. The Pharisees believed there was a resurrection of the body. And also believed that you had a spirit that separated from the body. Praise God. They didn't believe like the Sadducees said. Josephus, the historian, said the Sadducees believed that the soul died with the body. That's what he said. The Pharisees believed that the soul was separated from the body and it went somewhere. The Pharisees believed the soul separated from the body and went somewhere. Same teaching the church taught. Same teaching Jesus taught. Now do you remember in 1 Samuel? If you'll have your Bibles, look in 1 Samuel with me. Verse 28. 1 Samuel verse 28. As something happened, do you remember the story of Saul, the king, old King Saul, the one that persecuted King David? He had backslid and God had cut him off. God wouldn't speak to him anymore. And what did King Saul do? Well, if we was to read 1 Samuel 28, he went to a witch, a necromancer. And he asked her to call up Samuel. And if we read the story, something appeared. The Bible says it was Samuel. Now people have the question, can a witch disturb and bring up the spirit of a saint, of an Old Testament saint? Only if God allowed it. Only if it was in God's will. Only if God done it himself. God has to allow something like that. Was it really Samuel? Well, verse 12 of 1 Samuel 28 says, and when the woman saw Samuel, who did she see? Samuel. She cried with a loud voice. And Samuel had been dead for a good while. And the Bible says she saw Samuel. Verse 15. And Samuel said to Saul, who was talking according to the scripture? It says Samuel. Verse 16. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee and has become thine enemy? You see, it says Samuel. Over and over again, she saw Samuel and Samuel said. And he prophesied to Saul that he was going to die and God was going to take the kingdom and give it to David. And it came to pass exactly what the person said. Some people go to 1 Chronicles and they read where it says that he consulted a familiar spirit. Remember that? He consulted a familiar spirit and it calls it an it. If you look it up where it says familiar spirit, it's not talking about a spirit. It's necromancer. He consulted with a medium. He consulted with a witch. And that it was added by the translators. It's in italics. King James was honest when they translated the Bible. He was condemned because he went to the witch. Now, was it really Samuel? You know, the early church was divided. Some of them believed, yeah, it was Samuel. Some believed it wasn't Samuel, that it was a demon pretending to be Samuel. Even the modern Bible commentaries, they split. They don't really know if it was or not. But you know one thing for sure. King Saul, who knew the truth, who was a prophet, who was anointed of God, who was in the right religion, believed in spirits, didn't he? Or he wouldn't try to get a hold of Samuel. He believed Samuel was someplace and still alive. Remember what Jesus told the Sadducees? Sadducees would challenge the Pharisees and say, you can't show us from the Bible, the first five books of the Bible, that there's a resurrection or there's a spirit or anything like that. And Jesus said, you know, my God, he's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. He says, I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Jesus said that they're still living. And he hushed the Sadducees' mouth. Jesus clearly believed in departed spirits. He told a story, Luke 16. Luke 16, verse 22. And most people know the story. Luke 16, verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Amen. As soon as Lazarus died, the angels got him and carried him to Abraham's bosom. And that's a place of comfort. That's what it's showing you. It's a place of comfort. The rich man died. As soon as he died, he opened his eyes in hell. It don't say angels carried him to hell. Probably something else carried him to hell. And hell there is Hades. And that's where a lot of people says, hell's just the grave. I've never seen a grave where there was fire. Have you? I've never seen a grave where you could look and see somebody afar off when you're in the grave. What Hades means is the place of the dead. It's the hidden place, the intermediate place. Now, the place of the dead for the body is the grave. That's where the body goes until the resurrection. It's in the grave. But guess what's not in the grave? The spirit's not in the grave. Absolutely not. That wasn't the grave where the rich man opened his eyes. That wasn't the grave where Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom being comforted. Peter said this. 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. He says he reserves the wicked, he reserves the unjust people unto the day of judgment to be punished. They're in a place of reservation. It's just like now, if somebody is arrested, they're put in jail until they can see the judge for judgment day, right? They're reserved, kept under guard, until the day of judgment comes, and then they face judgment. Same way when you die, you are arrested, and God takes you, if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, and you are kept under guard, and that's what it means to reserve, until the day of judgment. You'll be in a holding cell. You see, if God deleted your spirit, you would cease to be. God doesn't delete your spirit when you die. He reserves the spirit unto the day of judgment. Interesting verse. If you look in 1 Peter with me. 1 Peter. Chapter 3 and verse 19. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, what he did. 1 Peter 3:19 says, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved. He said, our spirits, that's in prison. Right now they're in prison. That's the wicked. They've died. They're being reserved under guard. Now Jesus didn't preach to them while they're in prison. He tells you when he preached to them in the days of Noah is when they got preached to. Now they're in prison. Now they're waiting judgment. That prison is hell. And they're waiting judgment day. Now the Bible teaches that on judgment day, you'll just not be judged in spirit, But the body's going to be resurrected, reunited with that soul, and you'll stand before God and be judged, and the body and soul will be cast into the lake of fire. But the spirit is reserved, the wicked spirit is reserved in prison. So Jesus is teaching us, according to the Bible, praise God, that when a rich man, the wicked man died, he opened his eyes in this prison. His spirit went to Hades, went to hell. Praise God. And you know there's additional proof that he didn't open his eyes on judgment day. Because he told Abraham, Abraham, I got five brethren. Send Lazarus to them that they might repent. Abraham said, if somebody even raises from the dead, they're not going to repent if they don't believe the Bible, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets. You see, he still had five living brothers on earth. Abraham agreed. He said, well, if Lazarus resurrected and went to them, they still wouldn't hear. If they're not going to hear the Bible, they're not going to hear even a resurrected man. You see, that's not judgment day. That's soon as he died. Amen? Some say, well, it's just a parable. Well, if it is just a parable, what's it about? And why would Jesus tell all these lies that when you die, you go somewhere? Jesus wasn't a liar and a deceiver. Some people have to try to do away with the book of Luke completely because they don't want to believe the doctrine. If you've got to do away with one verse in the Bible to keep your doctrine, then your doctrine is a lie from hell. It's that simple. Praise God. Some people say, well, can people in hell talk to them in heaven? Well, the thing is, Lazarus wasn't in heaven. They don't say Lazarus went to heaven. He went to Abraham. And what the Jewish people taught in Christ's day was that Hades, the intermediate place, had two rooms. You had one for the wicked and one for the righteous. And the righteous went to the place that was like paradise where it was comforted until the resurrection. And the wicked went to the place of torments where they had no rest until the resurrection. Because God says there's going to be no rest for the wicked. Never ever will they have rest. Not in death and not in eternity. There's no rest for the wicked, God says. Praise God. You know, but something happened. Now why would God have to have a place to reserve the righteous? Why didn't he just take them straight to heaven back in the Old Testament? Well, the price wasn't paid for them yet. Did you know that? The price wasn't paid yet. God promised he would send the Lamb. He would send the Messiah for these people, these Old Testament saints. But the price wasn't paid yet. It wasn't going to be paid until Jesus Christ died on the cross. The Bible teaches that he led captivity captive and gave gifts to the saints. Now what happens when a righteous person, a saved person, a born-again person dies? Where do they go? Look in Philippians with me what the apostle said. Philippians 1. Philippians 1 and verse 21. Philippians 1 and verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul said, for me to die, it's a gain to me. But if I live in the flesh, which this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I want not. He don't know what he wants, he says. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He says, I'm caught between two things. You know, I'd like to just go home and be with the Lord, is what he's saying. He said, but it's needful for me to remain in this body to take care of you, to teach you. It's needful for me to abide in the flesh, remain in the flesh, in this body, and to be with you. But he knew if he departed, he was going to be with Jesus. He says, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, verse 23, having a desire to depart, that's death, and to be with Christ. Amen? Christ. What did Christ pray to the Father? He said, Father, I will that they be with me where I am. That was his prayer. Amen? I want them to come to me and be with me. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 5:8. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. It says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. When you leave that body, if you're a Christian, you're present with the Lord. Amen? When Jesus died on the cross, he said, Father, receive my spirit. Remember that? When Stephen was stoned to death, he cried with a loud voice unto God and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He wanted Jesus to receive that soul. Amen? So, death is a separation. Death is separating the body from the soul. And to be absent from the body, if you're saved, is to be present with the Lord. And if you're lost, to be absent from the body is to be in torment, to be in that place, that holding cell, unto the day of judgment. Now, Paul said, it's much better for me to go on and be with the Lord. It's much better for me to go on and die. Now, how could a man say it's much better for me to go ahead and die if all it was inactivity, no thoughts, no feelings, nothing? How could that be desirable over top of walking with the Lord? How could that be more desired than fellowshipping with Jesus Christ? Amen? Which one would you rather do? Walk with the Lord and feel His Spirit and commune with Him, or just be nothing? I'd rather walk with Jesus, wouldn't you? And Paul knew that to die was to be better than this life we have now. So it don't make no sense to say that it just ceases when you die. Jesus, when He was up on the cross with the thief, and that thief confessed Him as Lord and said, remember me. Jesus looked at that thief. He said, today, He said, verily I say unto thee, today thou will be with me in paradise. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Praise God. You know, Jesus didn't resurrect until 3 days later. Praise God. He told the thief, made a promise to him. He said, you're going to be with me in paradise. Praise God. Paradise. Paul said he ascended to the third heavens. You remember that? That's paradise, praise God. And he told the thief on the cross, he said, you're going to be with me there in paradise. You know, some people try to rewrite the verse. They try to move the comma where Jesus is saying, I'm telling you today, comma, you will be with me in paradise. That don't make a lick of sense. It's not. The grammatics of the Scripture has never been translated that way. That's not how it goes. People do that to just try to teach a doctrine. It's false. There's no need to do it. It'd be just, I'm telling you today. Why is he saying today when he knows what day it is? He's there. It don't make sense. He said, you will be with me in paradise. Here's one of the plainest Scriptures in all the Bible. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. Revelation 6, verse 9. And again, if you can't accept what the Bible says about the thief, what Jesus said to him, you shall be with me in paradise today. If you can't accept what Jesus said and you try to delete that verse, then your doctrine is very bad off. It's very bad off. But Revelation 6, verse 9. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? I mean, these souls were under the altar in heaven, crying out to God. And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, unto their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Amen, right there. There's where the souls are. Christian souls. Amen, before the resurrection. Amen, in the presence of God. Amen, even under the altar. And you see they're conscious, they're talking. Amen, giving white robes, praise God. All that is plainly taught in the Bible. You know, the Bible says, that speaking of persecution, Jesus said, don't fear them that can kill the body, but can't kill the soul. You remember that? But fear him that can kill the body and destroy both soul and body in hell. So he's telling you, you know, people can kill your body, but they ain't going to kill that soul. So that goes against the Sadducee doctrine that the soul dies when the body dies, doesn't it? He says, you fear God because God can destroy both body and soul in hell. That's Matthew 10:28. So the spirits of Christians who die in the Lord are in the presence of Christ in heaven. They don't cease being, praise God. Abraham's bosom, praise God, that is just done away with. Praise God. Now, let's look at some verses people use, because they go to the Old Testament and they snatch a few verses and they base their doctrines on it. And you know the New Testament reveals the Old Testament. The New Testament explains the Old Testament. You can't explain the New Testament with the Old Testament. This is the explanation of the Old Testament. It tells you what the Old Testament means. Praise God. But they always go to the Old Testament and grab a few verses. It says Psalms 146 verse 4. It says, his breath goes forth, he returns to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. And they say, see, when you die, you stop thinking. Your thoughts perish. So you're unconscious. The word thoughts means plans. Your plans. Thought. Look it up. Dictionary. His thoughts perish. When a man dies, all his plans he had for this life come to nothing. They come to an end. His thoughts perish. Praise God. Even the New King James Version, which I'm not really for, says his spirit departs, he returns to his earth, and that very day his plans perish. It's plans. Get your concordance, look it up. That's what it's talking about. Ecclesiastes says, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Praise God. The key verse is done under the sun. They cannot affect when a person dies and goes on, heaven or hell, wherever they go. They don't know what's going on down here. They're not omniscient. They're not all-knowing. Praise God. The Bible says that Abraham has these children. Abraham don't know nothing about them. His grandchildren, great-grandchildren, he's been gone on. Your loved ones that went on to heaven, they don't know what's going on earth. That's not heaven. If your loved ones was up in heaven seeing you suffer and going through this life and messing up, that wouldn't be heaven. They're not looking down. They're not waiting for you to talk to them like the Roman Catholics do. They can't help you. Amen? They have nothing to do with what's going on under the sun. That's all I say. Praise God. Another verse they like to use, which it's all true verses, but you can't use a verse of the Old Testament to do the whole entire teaching of the Bible. Daniel 12:2 says, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. That doesn't say anything about being unconscious. That body is asleep. That body is not awake. It's dead. It's going back to the dust. Praise God. And it's going to wake. There's absolutely a resurrection of the body. That's Christianity. If you deny the resurrection, a physical resurrection of the body, you are not a Christian. Amen. Jesus Christ, amen, he came out of the tomb with power, praise God. But he said, touch me on flesh and on bone. The body rose from the dead. It was changed. It became a glorified body. It wasn't blood running through his veins. It was glory in the veins. Glory was activating them, not blood no more. The blood was shed. It was let. No more blood. You, Christian, when you're raised from the dead, and that body's going to be raised from the dead, reunited with the Spirit, it won't be blood in your veins no more. It'll be glory. Your body will be changed and it'll be like his glorious body, the Bible says. Praise God. Amen? That's what the Bible teaches. Now what helps me is to know that what I just taught was taught by the teachers of Christ's day, by Jesus Christ, by the apostles, and by the church for centuries. Right? That should help you to understand that. It's never been even really an issue throughout church history. Church has always taught you die, your spirit's with God if you're a Christian. If you're lost, you're in that place called hell, that Hades, that prison waiting judgment day. Then the Bible says that hell, that Hades, on judgment day will be cast into the lake of fire. That's the Gehenna of fire. That's the hell fire where there's weeping and gnashing their teeth. Amen. You dig up any grave you want to, them people ain't weeping and gnashing their teeth. They're dead. They're dead. Ain't no fire in them graves. Amen? That's what the Bible teaches, praise God. But I'm going to close, and I hope it's plain. I hope I made it plain. Praise God. But we'll close with that, and we'll pray together.